In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Thank you for joining A Psychic Story. And in this episode, we are speaking with Maria Petros, and she is a psychic and spiritual healer. She has been serving as a spiritual consultant to people ranging from law enforcement to the entertainment industry. And I could go on and on, but very honored to have her today. And we will be talking about everyday development for psychics. And if you are looking to develop your own intuitive gifts and abilities, what that could look like for you. But Maria, before we go into that and what it takes and how people can, you know, grow their abilities, I wanted to just get from you, what is your story? I looked online and I know that you have been gifted with this since and knew about it from a very young age, at the age of 12. But how did your family react and how did you embrace your gifts?
I did not know it. I thought everybody was the same. I went back, flashing back. I could tell that I knew my experiences when I was younger, but I didn't think anything of it because I thought everybody was the same degree, which, by the way, every single person on earth is psychic. As long as you have the psyche, soul, psychic in Greek, psyche in Greek for the soul, you're psychic. Very simple. It's like the voice. You have a voice, you sing. Now, some people, they'll sing on stage and some in the shower. So it is a talent. People say, oh, Maria, you have a gift. Fine. Then if I have a gift, you have 10 gifts. We all have gifts. So it is a talent. And as any other talent, these two can be developed. So that is what I come in when I teach. I usually have I have various workshops. One of them for the psychic development for everyday living is a three-hour workshop. And people that come in from all walks of life, and they, of course, don't know how psychic they are. Now, usually, they're clients of mine that come, and they will bring somebody, you know, along with them. And usually, people come to get that one free psychic question, because what I offer in the classes or three-hour workshop is that I will answer one psychic question, personal psychic question for all participants. So you call it funny to see that, you know, it's normal. I would have done the same, I guess, because they, some people, you know, they were always going to know something. And so they come for that one question, maybe something they did not ask in the reading or to see whatever that is. So they go home with much more than that because they can read one another as well as I do and or better with the first time. And they've never done it before. I make it so easy. And they're stunned by themselves. They just can't believe it. And I'll tell you why it is good for all of us to develop this ability within us. It helps us get more mileage out of life. I definitely do believe in God, I'm old-fashioned God, you know, that guy in the sky with the gray beard and the light and all that.
Right.
And yep. And I remember from the Greek church, the icon, because we have icons instead of statues, and we have, you know, God's image. So I do believe in God, in the universe. And God has an agenda for all of us. We call you, me, and God says to you, watch out for your stomach, eh? Because you have a very sensitive stomach. And but although God is, I mean, it's an undoubted area of my life. However, I believe that God also gives us free will and choice. And I have a feeling that God will not interfere with the free will and choice that he gave us. So we have choices. Unfortunately, I have found with the years, in all the places of the world that I teach, and ranging from Greece, Turkey, Japan, the States, of course, which I reside, Mexico, like, wherever, Egypt, I have found that most people believe that they're fatalists. Mm-hmm. Now, oh, well, it wasn't meant to be, and it wasn't meant to be. God wasn't willing, especially in Middle Eastern countries. God wasn't, I'm sure you've heard that, you know. Well, God is always willing. We're the one. It's an easy way of blaming what happens to us to someone else. And usually the scapegoat is God. God was willing, God was willing. I know I repeated that.
Do you believe then that before you come to earth that you, because I completely agree with you. I think that we all have a path and we have a destiny, but we also have free choice and will. So for example, if you come here and you decide halfway through your life, you don't want to go down that path, you want to pick the harder path or whatever that would be or look like, then in that instance, you are still heading in the direction that you originally had agreed to before you came on this earth plane.
I see what you say, and I'm not sure to the way you put it, because some people may think about the fatalism again. Mm-hmm. Firstly, I believe that there is a path. We have a choice. I mean, we have to go somewhere to walk through a path. We create the path as we go on. We're like, think of yourself in a jungle, mm-hmm. and you have to cut through the vegetation to walk. We create our path as we go. We create, we create, we create. And that is the idea, to always go onward, always go Godward. Because if you look back, the prints have been erased. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We keep going and going. I like what you said. It is so. You know how it is? I said, God has the last word anyway.
Right.
But let's do our thing. You know, because God created really after his image. So we play God all the time, don't we? Oh, my God. But unless when it doesn't suit us, then all of a sudden it wasn't us. It was God's fault.
The way that I've seen it or felt it, at least, because as a young child growing up, and you mentioned before we started to record that you picked up that I was intuitive. And
extremely, though, not just intuitive.
Oh, thank you. Extremely intuitive. Well, thank you. I will take that. For me, unless I experience it, then to me, I'm always open to possibilities. But at the same time, I don't necessarily hold a certain belief, because I feel that unless I experience it or I just know it intuitively, then I don't want it to hinder me. And so I ask this question for you, and this is actually something I haven't shared before on the show, but you said that God doesn't interfere. However, when I was growing up, I actually took my little sister, who at the time she could barely walk. It was right down the street from a townhouse that we were living in, my family. And I remember this is the only time I've ever actually heard a voice in my head. I'm more of a knowing person and a feeling person and a visual person, but not an audience, you know, an audio clairvoyant. And I heard in my left ear, like this booming voice, get out now. And we were only there for, gosh, not even 5 minutes. And this car pulled up. Anyway, long story short is I left. And as a result of that situation, there was a child abductor in the area. And so, so I have always wondered, we always have our guardians and our guides and our angels looking out for us.
You heard it because you are very psychic. Even if you didn't claim it, you did not know about it. So I'm psychic. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you were. And you we all day long, we get messages, but we don't pay attention. We don't trust them. You know what? You trusted your gut. And that's why you saved the situation. The messages are there. Some of us may see an image. Some of us may hear a voice, which seldom happens, but you heard it. So it is, again, the guides are always with us. When I say that God will not interfere, but by God, our guides are all around, and that's what they do. They're there. They cannot also interfere. They can tell you what to do, but did they pull you up off the road? No. That's what I meant, God won't interfere. God is not going to lift you up so the danger will go. No, but they tell you. It was your choice. Get technical about this. It was your choice, right? He said, nah, that's bullshit. But you did it. You chose to go. That was an amazing example.
I'm very grateful for the abilities that I have, but it's the first time Absolutely. That I actually heard. Yeah, I mean, it's helped me so many times in my life and other people as well. And, you know, I'm not...
You just heed the voice. Now, do you see it the way I'm seeing it also? From what you said earlier, did you get your answer?
Yes.
Okay, God will not interfere. But why this happened? Well, because you are in tune. He doesn't tell you what to do, not to do. You heard something though, right. from mm-hmm. your, what is it, your guide, your higher self, whatever you want to call it. But you trusted it, come down to trust, to faith and belief. You did not stay there and say, oh yeah, maybe, oh no, my imagination. No, you had to act faster than you did. Do you see more how I mean the choices?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And for me, it was more, I guess, because that was more of a very direct instruction.
That's what is called a miracle. And for, I've been writing books super successfully in Europe. Now I'm ready to go here. I've written, Discover Your, about someone connecting with their self, their abilities, about psychic development, but it's in a form of a book of a story instead of an instructional situation. And you would love the book. Yeah. The book, it is, I teach these elements in detail in a down to earth. I'm writing a book and nothing that I write is new. When I read other authors, I'm saying, oh my God, I wish I had written it. I mean, reading Rosemary Altair's The Rose and the Eagle, by God, did I ever open my eyes and my heart and my soul. There's so much beautiful work out there.
Those are the inspiring stories that I want to hear more about, because I feel that a lot of people put out there more of the supernatural, mystical, and negative, that it has to be scary, and it's not.
It's not. And I read a lot of course, so many wonderful people writing on there. Wonderful. One of my heroes is Dr. Joseph Murphy, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. Once you read that book, you've read us all. And he's been long gone. And it was an amazing experience having dinner with him once in Los Angeles. And he was telling me, you know, Marie, every day you get up and say, this is the best day you will ever have. And I was hesitant. And he was trying to tell me, I couldn't get it. So after, during dessert, he shocked me. He said, Maria, who are you saving the best day for? I said, but if I say this is the best, then tomorrow is going to be a less day. He says, no, tomorrow you say the same thing. And of course, he refers to which a big part of what I teach about the power of our own subconscious mind that knows, nor does not know right from wrong, nor does it have a sense of humor. So we create our world through word, action, thought. And half of the world prefaces with a no. No, Maria, you're right. No, it's going to rain. Like, as a preface. Now, for instance, no is a special word like none other, but it is for answering a question. It's a yes or no answer. Are you hungry? Say no, I'm not hungry. If you are, you say yes. Now, when you preface those with the word no, you preface. And this is, you put out negative energy that it has nothing to adhere itself to. because it's not an answer to something. Now think, half of the world does the same thing you do. You are borrowing you right now, processing with a no. After a while, this becomes so huge of a matter that's negative, and that goes to our, as I say, sometimes to our karmic bank. And then sometimes we want something to happen very much. We want to know if so-and-so is going to call. We're going to know if we're going to win this. We're going to know if we should go here or there. And universe says, no, you already told us no. It's kind of childlike presentation what I'm doing right now, but that is the best way for some people to get it. We must assume responsibility for what it is that we create. Yes, I said earlier, God has the last word. However, how are we going to get tested? How are we going to pass in this school that where the blessings of coming into when we were born? And only with our behavior, how we go through it. And so the idea is to assume responsibility to be in charge of what it is that we create. I don't know. Did I say what I wanted to say?
Yes. Well, yes, exactly. It's perfect because I heard this one time, this saying that you are living the life that you want to live. And in my mind, I was like, good nope. Girl. Yep. And I was like, no, I'm not. Like, I want to be more financially abundant. I want to, you know, all these things. And then I thought, just what you said is that here in my mind, whether or not I'm verbally saying it or acting out on the actions, I'm thinking things like, well, what about a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now? I'm not being present. I'm not being in the moment, right? So it's so true that that you are people.
But we're human though. So
right. True. Right. But then I also say, which, and I can't take credit because this is not my quote, but that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And if we all knew that.
Hey, I'll borrow that one. I will borrow that one. Say that again.
Sure. We are spiritual beings here on earth having a human experience. Yeah. So what that means is we're all here trying to force ourselves into this like human experience. And we're like, no, I want this and this and doing this. But in reality, the point for us to learn and love and grow is the spiritual growth, right?
That is one of the best things I've heard.
Well, good. I'm glad I could teach you something.
Are you with social media? Are you like with Instagram?
Yes. I just actually started following you on Instagram. I checked out your page. I'm on.
Okay. All the quotes you see are mine.
Well, definitely. If I use any of them, I will give you credit and tag you.
Please go ahead and read. Very seldom I will quote someone. I read everybody's quotes. I love it. But that's you see where I come from once you do this. I did not know. What is your last name?
Bigley. Biglely.
All right. So as you can see, I'm very passionate about the subject of psychic development. And again, I want to say to the world, we are all psychic, every single one of us. You have a psyche, you're psychic. It's that simple. And we think, or sometimes we say, oh, I knew it.
Right.
Nobody told it to you. I knew it. Well, really? And also it's fun. And that's how we get not to know that we're not just here dumped on this earth plane. You know what I mean? There's guidance. I learned a lot, Nicole, a lot. First of all, as you read in my background, I became aware of, I wasn't aware. I had psychic experiences, but I had not called them that at the time because I did not know the difference. They were just whatever. Later on, at 27 years, 25 or something like this, I found out by visiting another professional, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful psychic, and in Los Angeles. And she told me that I was and took it from there. And there's so much to say. I don't want to just tell you stories and stories and stories. The thing that has helped me a lot is a prediction that I made June 13th of 81. I told, I remember, I lived in Beverly Hills, California, and I told my sister one day I was having lunch, and I remember the date because it was my sister's in-law birthday. We're very close, June 13th. And I told my sister, oh, I'm going to die, you know. My sister goes with the old Christian calendar. It's called the Gregorian. So she's very like God, like a nun almost. And she was like, start making the sign of the cross. How dare you tell me such a thing and you're eating. I said, that means that I'm going to have maybe an experience, letting a rebirth.
It wasn't like a physical death. It was just a
Mm-hmm. But then I was seeing Lord, then he came again. She wasn't convinced. And I was sitting, it continued. And now I felt that I was at a mortuary. And I felt that there was someone was laid out. And it was me.
Hmm.
And so she keeps asking things. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, I see the mortuary. So I said, that would be a big change, I guess, that I'm going to go through. And for me to see that. And she says, fearing the answer, she said to me, oh, yeah, now that you're going to tell us the date, when. I said, oh, yeah, St. Marina's Day. Now, in the Greek calendar, we celebrate name days. Like my name day, Maria, is a national holiday. It's closed. It's August 15th, for instance. So I said, oh, St. Marina's Day. I did not know what St. Marina's Day was, but she had a Greek calendar in the pantry. She wanted to saw it. And she said to me, oh, that's 17th of July. So I just started talking about other things, dismissed it, forgot all about it. And 17th of July, I go to the mortuary, Pierce Mortuary, viewing the biggest part of me being laid out. That was my son, who died of no cause, July 14th, a year, no cause. And to this day, they say the child who died of no cause. But because he was underage, he was 16 and a half, not 18, they could not write natural causes. So they took time to put him down. So I ended up, the viewing was the 17th of July. Now, this is rare. Because of that, we started corresponding a year later as situations that cannot be denied. So that has become, although to this day, I mean, this day I cry just any time I get his name. I'm trying to hold up right now. But I've learned so much because I took it a year exactly, and I started communicating. And it was an interesting situation as to how. This is going to be all in my books that you're going to read when I publish them, because I have two of them written, like I said earlier. Now, the thing is that the closest thing to death prediction that I've come, some people are afraid to go for a reading because they say, I don't want to hear anything bad.
Right. Or they don't want to hear the answer that they know themselves.
That's true. However, with my experience, Nicole, you cannot predict death.
Mm-hmm.
This was the closest and the only time. Afterwards, like I had people who would come to me and say, oh, my God, Maria, you told me my grandma would move back to Montana into her green, beautiful, lush, green pastures that she left when she was a child, and she still has a ranch. And you told me she was going to move there in September, so-and-so. Well, guess what? She moved to other pastures that day. So in that respect, you can see it later on. Oh, that's what Maria must have meant. But death cannot be predicted. There are some psychics, God bless them, that either they want that power trip or whichever the real thing is, that they predict death. And from what I know, some clients come to see me, they're wrong anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the way I work, I cannot predict that.
I have a question for you about me, because when I was, and I very rarely do this, because I want it to be about the listeners and what information they can get. But when I was really young, I told my mom that I didn't think that I was going to live past 20 or whatever. And it wasn't morbid. So can you explain to me what that was? Because she's like, stop saying that. And I said, well, I can see myself up into a certain age, but then I can't see past that. And that to me was weird. It's almost like having vision and then having vision taken away from you, or a smell and scent?
First of all, when you start feeling psychic energy 12 or 13 years old, it kind of scares you a bit. And maybe you remember, maybe you don't. Maybe you didn't even feel it, because I think you were intuitive since a very young age and you sort of blocked it. If you had not changed that from 13 to 20, you wouldn't have had a life. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't be physically dead, but you lived like a normal child, let's say. And so you came into your shoes by 20. It was a change. You went through a change. Maybe you cannot count for it now, but think about it and see how many things change. You were playing around with your choices at that. We're all, most of us are born. I call it digital with a piece of the puzzle. You had more than one. That's what, before we talked, I thought you how specially psychic you were. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was an unconscious choice, this thing. At the time, you were an innocent. You did not have the education of the psychic realm to call it any different. And you felt that, you know, your life would stop. Well, it did, and started again, but in a different way. Does that make any sense to you, what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was more, it was just, as I was growing up, my family would say, well, you're going to get married and have kids. You're going to do this. And I was like, no, I'm not. Or yes, I am. And I was just very determined. Right. And when they said, well, about a certain age, I'm like, well, I don't know. I couldn't see past that time frame. And to me, that was a foreign concept, because, but what you're saying totally resonates, because it was almost like a path, right? It was a choice of, and like you said, whether protecting or blocking or whatever, so that I could have that experience and have that
normal life. Because they were all parents, they say, oh, she's blonde and beautiful, she's got to marry a millionaire, or she's got to marry. Why? Who says we have to marry? Who says we have to do anything? Just because they want to recreate themselves through us, most of the time, the parents. God bless them, you know. You really, really, really special. You had to go through your life till you were 20, old enough to know things, although you're such an old soul. So it wasn't your sister's situation that day. It wasn't the first message you had.
The voice was the first that I recall.
Mm-hmm. You had that impression.
When you say the miracle, what to me, and I want to share this with the listeners, because, and I'm sure my mom would be fine with this, is that the double miracle with that was that my mother was in the house and she had a vision and she shook the vision out of her mind. And then as she shook it out of her mind, it kept coming back, and she actually got out of the shower, looked out the window, saw the person out of the car, and said, girls, and actually called me, in which case, and that man ran. So we had both of our guardians, our guides and our angels looking out for us in that familial situation and that spiritual situation. And so that's why I call it out in particular, because that was something that to me was so powerful that, it makes me grateful, but at the same time, there is a lot of what's positive in the world. There's also negative, and you do need to be aware and protect yourself in those instances.
Absolutely. I'm telling you. Now, by the way, you're multi-talented. You're good with food. You're good with art. Anything to do with art. You should be dancing. Listen to music and dance. It's very important for you to dance, but I don't feel you do enough of that. And there is nothing you cannot do. You personally are multi-talented. You just do not pay attention to your talents. Writing books will help you a lot, because you're going to see how psychic you are. And I hope to God you meditate. The biggest part of my work is meditation. As I was telling you earlier, I have about 25, 27 meditations on Astana's YouTube channel, Astana, A-S-T-A-N-A, that is formed by George Brown, including the gang member. And all you need to do, go to YouTube Astana and put my name in with Earth, and voila.
I will definitely put that in the show notes for sure, and let people know.
And many, quite a few of the kindness of my friend, amazing artist Vanessa Williams. She announces me many, and then we do meditations together, and really awesome. You know, Nicole, we do not pray enough. We do not meditate enough, and we expect miracles. Well, how is that going to happen?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I pray every day, and I make it a practice every night before I go to bed. Maybe not as much in the morning, but I did do this. If people haven't tried it out, or you haven't tried it out, there's this app called Headspace, and you can go, you can download it, and they have meditations. You can do a world meditation. It'll tell you what time and how many people are connected online and doing that. But I, for the first time, one day I did a morning meditation because I'm not a morning person. It just has never been in my, you know, wheelhouse. But I did that, and it so balanced me for the rest of the day that I want to try and do that as
Please
more.
Please go and check my meditation also and let me know. Let me write that down because I did not get all that for the meditation. Headspace.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great business concept because what they do is if you have anxiety or if you have sleeping problems or whatever it is, you can turn on.
Me? Anxiety? Never. Oh my God. Thank you so much. Nicole, we need to stop.
Oh, okay. No problem. Yeah, no, thank you so much. For anyone that's interested, you can follow Maria online, and I will add the information in the show notes. Have a great one, Maria. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk again, okay?
Okay, absolutely. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Sure. Okay. You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com.